Please stay on the conference until other participants have entered.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Welcome to the SAIC audio teleconferencing.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is the Berkman Center. I'm doing the webcast, so just checking in.
Thanks. Jonathan Cohen here.
Oh, okay. John Wilbanks.
Hi. Who else is on? Anybody?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I'm going to be...
We're first?
Pardon?
We're first?
I believe so. I was out and logged back in to make sure I had a good level feed, so I'm going to be running out. You can... If you just talk in, you can reach me right via the Real Audio, and I can come back and pick up the phone.
Okay. What time is it now?
I've got about 2 minutes to 9:30.
Okay. So I'm early.
Yeah. Just a bit.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Don Talaj and David Johnson.
This is Hirofumi Hota from Japan.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. Jonathan Cohen.
How are you?
Jonathan Cohen, sometimes from Ottawa, Washington.
Hello? Hi, Mr. Lindsay.
Hi, this is Victoria Carrington from Ottawa.
Hi, Faye Howard, just joining.
Hey, Faye.
Hello, Faye. Don Talaj here.
Hello there.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Elizabeth, hello.
Hello, Elizabeth Portenev speaking. Good morning.
Good morning,
afternoon.
This is Don Talaj.
Bonjour, Don.
Bonjour.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, a little bit overworked with DNSO.org, but it is just... I am not complaining.
I understand.
How many we are online?
There are two here, me and David Johnson here.
Okay.
Jonathan. And Richard Lindsay from Red Star is here.
Jonathan.
Hey. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Is it the Names Council teleconference?
Yes, it is.
Yes, bonjour, Jean-Pierre.
Bonjour, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hello.
Huntington.
Hello.
Hi, it's David Maher.
Hey, David.
Hello, David. Elizabeth online.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Who, if anybody's chairing today?
Jonathan, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington, from a payphone.
I'm outside the ICC, actually, right upstairs from the meeting.
I'm downstairs.
Okay.
Morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Is it Teresa?
Caroline, she coined.
Oh, Caroline, okay. Hi.
Bonjour, Caroline.
Bonjour. Comment savez-vous que je parlais français?
Votre nom sonne français et ça m'a fait très plaisir d'avoir quelqu'un qui parle français. En fait, c'était juste une devinette. Hein.
Et excusez-moi.
Ça sonne un peu plus international.
Vous avez vos skis prêts?
Pardon?
Vous avez vos skis prêts?
Mes skis sont prêts.
Oui.
Mes vêtements des skis aussi. Mais là, nous souffrons à Paris, il fait 30 degrés.
Ah bon, ici aussi. 34.
Oh là là.
Oui.
But don't bother, there's no snow. It hasn't rained for the last month.
Okay.
Who's the chairman today?
We don't have a chairman.
Because I was going to ask the chairman to let me go first so I can get the heck back into the meeting.
Jonathan, have you firmed up your ski arrangements, or are you?
I'm going to do that as soon as I get... In fact, I know Victoria's listening. We're going to start checking it out immediately. Because the Portillo is a hell of a ski resort about 2 hours out of Santiago.
Yeah, but there's no snow that I know, because it hasn't rained.
There's no snow in the Andes?
There's a drought.
A drought? But at
yeah.
10,000 feet?
Everywhere. They had electricity restrictions in Chile, because they could not produce enough, they didn't have enough water to produce electricity.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to check it out as we get close to the time.
Yep.
Maybe there'll be a flood.
Hello, everybody. This is Andrew McLaughlin. I am here for the ICANN side. I'm not going to be able to stay for the entire call, but I wanted to. We had a little bit of a discussion yesterday about the timing of the DNSO constituency recognition process in order to get DNSO directors elected by the November meeting. And I thought it might be useful just to let you know what we were thinking about that, and then just pitch it to you all to do with what you will. So I'm not sure where that fits in on the agenda, but that's what I thought maybe I could usefully provide a little bit of input on.
Thank you. It will be very interesting to have it.
Maybe it should be first.
Could we have Andrew go ahead and present that then?
I'm ready to talk if you guys are ready to go ahead.
How many people have we got on board now?
This is Ted. I just joined.
Hi, Ted.
I have.
We may want to have a roll call.
Yeah, I think good.
This is Javier.
Hi, Javier. It's Bill Fleming.
Hi.
Okay, Jonathan Cohen.
Victoria Carrington.
Caroline Chacoin.
Richard Lindsay.
David Maher.
Hey, Howard.
David Johnson and Don Talage.
Elisabeth Portoneuve.
And this is Andrew McLaughlin.
Okay, so we're still missing some people.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Teresa. Sorry I'm late.
Teresa? Jonathan.
Hi. I had trouble getting in, so...
We're still waiting. There are a number of people who are obviously in the same situation.
Yeah, it could be.
Jonathan, are you the only one from your constituency going to the WIPO meeting?
Yes.
Okay, I know that Ken Stubbs is on his way from the airport, actually, so he's not going to be in this call.
No, I know Ken is coming in, and...
Fred Lindsay, I think, is going also.
Yes, yeah. I'm going.
Also.
Okay. So Amadeus was not in the call either?
No, not yet. I thought he would be, but... Did everybody get Working Group A's report?
Yeah, it was sent out early this morning, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. No. I haven't had a chance to read it.
Well, save it for tonight in case you're having trouble sleeping.
It's been a problem recently, but in case it is, I'll use that.
Great.
Hello.
Oh, that's a hell of an answer.
Well, much better than the silence.
Why don't they play that when I answer?
Okay,
the
Secretariat, could you please call for a chair for the meeting?
Elisabeth Portoneuve online, I am calling for a chair.
Okay, well, I nominate Say Howard.
Is Say on the call?
Yes. Is Say on the call? Say, do you accept?
Who nominated me?
Jonathan.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay, I'll accept.
Okay, thank you. Any objection? Well, we accepted Faye. Please, Faye, go ahead.
Thank you. I feel that we should take some of the suggestion I had before, that we take Andrew McLaughlin's item first. Has anybody got any objections to that?
We have to have an agenda first.
Yes, but I'm going through the agenda, but I want Andrew's here just for a short time. Does anybody have any objection if we add that one?
Hey, can I just ask a quick question because I came on late? What was his suggestion?
He's here to talk to us about the DNSO recognition time period and process.
Okay.
So that the recognition before, so that we can have elections in November for board members.
Yeah, I hadn't realized that there was a suggestion to do that, but I don't have any problem.
Okay.
No, you're doing late, Teresa.
This was
Andrew came in and asked to report.
Oh, perfect. Okay, sorry about that. I was still trying to get into the bridge.
Sorry about that, Teresa.
That's all I was trying to determine also. There's just not that many people on the call, but it certainly doesn't hurt to listen.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is just inform you all as to the discussion that we had on the board call yesterday, and it's really up to you all to decide how you want to handle it and how you want to time things. But the board has made it a priority to get the supporting organization directors elected to be seated in time for November, and that is slightly inconsistent with the schedule that was adopted in Berlin, which I think contemplated the first elections, contemplated the directors being added after final recognition in November. So we took a crack at writing what a schedule might look like that would get us directors to be seated for the November meeting. And I apologize for this late notice on this, but the call was just yesterday, and I thought it might be useful to hold this discussion, or at least to launch it today. So if you all are ready, I can just run you through the thinking and take any questions.
That would be fine.
So the operative part of the resolution that is at issue here is the portion of the resolution adopted in Berlin that says, further resolved that the President and Corporation is directed to work with the constituencies to amend their proposals to address deficiencies noted by the Board, which amended proposals must include a commitment of the submitting constituency to hold a new election of Names Council representatives promptly following the approval by the Board of such amended proposal. So as a result of that provision, it's contemplated that there will be an amended proposal submitted to the Board, and that once the Board acts on that, the constituencies will then hold their final elections for long-term Names Council members. As I said, the original conception had been that that act would happen on or before November 4th for the annual Los Angeles meeting. But in order to get the directors elected in time to participate in that meeting, the schedule needs to be backed up a little bit. So the schedule that was talked about yesterday goes like this. On August 24th, there are constituency meetings in Santiago. Among the agenda items, perhaps ought to be discussing any revisions to constituency procedures and to prepare and draft amended proposals to submit to the Board for approval, and to develop a plan for constituency elections after Board approval. We thought that maybe mid-September, something like September 15th, would be a reasonable deadline for amended constituency proposals to be submitted to the Board, and then a Board call could be scheduled on September 16th, at which point, assuming that everything goes well, the Board would make final recognition of the amended constituency proposals. That would leave from September 16th until mid to late October for the actual elections to take place. And it might work something like October 8th would be a deadline for the constituencies to elect their long-term Names Council members. And then October 22nd would be a deadline for the new Names Council to elect ICANN board members. That would leave a little bit of time for them to get ready for the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles, which is November 2nd to the 4th. So that's really everything that I have. Obviously, this is a sort of tentative suggestion for how it might look. The Board doesn't have any particularly strong views one way or the other. We thought that we ought to leave enough time for the new Names Council to have a little bit of time for the discussion and deliberations on who the ICANN board members ought to be. We also tried to leave enough time for election mechanisms to take place, and as long as they were planned ahead of time, that seems like a feasible amount of time. So that's everything that I have.
This is Faye. Can I just ask one question? I just missed one date. You said 8th of October as a tentative deadline for long-term Names Council members to be elected. And there was one date you gave after that, which I just...
Yeah, and then perhaps something like October 22nd would be when you would want to schedule a Names Council meeting to actually elect the board members.
Okay.
Now, again, maybe you want to move the deadline for the constituency elections back a little bit, but it does seem like you want to leave a little bit of time for the new Names Council to be organized and then to figure out how it's going to elect the ICANN board members.
Right. Anybody got any questions they'd like to put to Andrew?
What do you contemplate about the nominations process?
Could you repeat that?
What do you contemplate about the nominations process?
Well, that I presume could take place coextensively with this schedule. In other words, this Names Council could launch the process of accepting nominations, I would imagine. The only thing that this Names Council, the Provisional Names Council, is barred from doing is actually electing the directors themselves. So at whatever date I would think that the Provisional Names Council thought convenient, it could launch the process of accepting nominations.
I'm sorry, Andrew, nominations for the ICANN board?
Correct. In other words, if you wanted to, if there's to be an open process of accepting nominations, that could, you know, you could launch that tomorrow if you wanted. Maybe something more like a month ahead of the election itself might be more sensible.
I see, but how do we do that in conjunction with the constituency elections for their permanent representatives?
Well, I think they could go on at the same time. In other words, the constituency elections are independent of any process that, this Provisional Names Council would want to launch for accepting, you know, to make a public call for nominations. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have the bylaws in front of me, but it's my understanding that the long-term names council is not restricted just to the names that are put in nomination, but I cannot recall whether that restriction is in the bylaws or not.
My understanding is the General Assembly makes the nominations for the supporting for the representatives to the board, so that that would work as you describe it.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that basically means that anybody can nominate.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks.
This is Richard Lindsay from the Registrar Constituency. I have just one comment. For the Registrar, we kind of tied in a time schedule that was related to the test bed and the post-test bed, with the assumption that there would be a lot more registrars once the test bed was completed. So obviously this is going to conflict a little with that schedule, but we can discuss that amongst the constituents.
This is Faye here. I guess we all have to go back to our constituencies and discuss this. And as Richard said, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to discuss because each constituency is running in a slightly different way. I guess that's unless there's any questions about clarification, I think that's what we have to do here is take your message and report amongst ourselves.
Can we get something in writing, Jonathan?
I can certainly send you all an email that outlines these dates if that would be useful.
We can forward that to the people in our constituencies. It'll be easier for them to grasp.
Fine. I'll just go ahead and do that. And if somebody wouldn't mind cross-posting maybe to the General Assembly or elsewhere so that it's, you know,
Elizabeth, could
public
record. Elizabeth,
can
I ask you to do that?
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay, it's Jonathan. I wonder if I could request to move my agenda item up to the top because I'm with others waiting to go into a meeting that's in progress with WIC.
Sure, Jonathan. Does anybody have any objection to that? And have we finished with sounds dreadful. Have we finished with Andrew?
This is Bill Semick. I have a question for Andrew, and I don't object to Jonathan's change. Andrew, is there some sort of explanation for the change in schedule, and did the board actually vote to change the bylaws or whatever it acted on in Berlin, and is that available?
No, there's no resolution changing the schedule right now. This is the board, I think, has made clear a couple different times that it wants to get the SO directors seated by November, and the resolution that was passed in Berlin doesn't clearly provide for that. So this is a little bit of an acceleration of the schedule, but hopefully not by more than a couple of weeks.
And the reason being?
The reason being, we need this board wants SO directors elected to join the unelected at-large members that are currently there.
There's a rumor floating around the list that the current board is planning to resign. What do you know about that?
Nothing. I can confirm that is nothing I've heard anything about. I think I'd be in a position to know.
Thanks.
Any more questions of Andrew?
Thank you all.
No, thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Okay, unless there are any objections, we take Jonathan's item next, if that's all right.
This is Richard. Actually, I'm going to go and join the WIPO meeting, so I'll catch Jonathan during the break and find out what his report is.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is the final report. Is Amadeo online yet? Okay, well, he's not here. I haven't got his report with me. But in a nutshell, what Working Group A requested comments from many people, received very few, but those that were received were cogent and helpful. Amongst the respondents was Professor Frumkin, who had some interesting ideas and thoughts about procedures. The bottom line on the report is that I see no reason based on the working group's efforts and or the request for comment period to delay implementation of the WIPO recommendations to put into place mandatory dispute resolution in relation to a bad faith or abusive registrations. There are, however, some clear questions that arise out of some of the procedural items, and I think that they should be referred back to WIPO for very prompt resolution, and I have indicated what the problems are and given suggested solutions where I thought I had them or where people writing in suggested ones that made sense. There were a few ideas that I acknowledged but felt were not necessary to act upon. I also recommend that the NAMES Council consider recommending to the ICANN board that this process be in place for the balance of this year, and that over the course of the year 2000, that WIPO be asked to open up the process on a voluntary basis for a broader range of disputes in the process of trying to create a new set of rules along the lines of the IHAC proposal, that is a set of rules for dispute resolution for the future, if you like, which is based on neither civil nor common law, nor calls upon any particular body of law or statute from any particular country. And that's the bottom line.
Thanks, Jonathan. Any comments from anybody?
Yeah, this is Ted. Jonathan, just wanted to congratulate you on managing to get this together and putting together what looks to be a pretty balanced report.
Thanks. Thanks, Victoria.
I had a feeling that that might be the response.
Well, we were both up until 2 o'clock in the morning last night. I was dictating, and she's very faithfully pounding the keys, because I can dictate, but pound the keys is not my strong suit.
Look, what you get up to in the privacy of your own hotel room, that's fine by us.
one more. Jonathan, what are you proposing that we now do, that we adopt this report, or?
Well, I think
the next step is.
Well, very few people, obviously, unfortunately, would have had a chance to read it. My suggestion is that everybody sometime today read it, and if there are any obviously major problems with it, then we need to discuss it. And my suggestion would be that if people basically accept the report, that they so indicate by email to the conference chairperson today, which is Fay, and that, I guess, would either there will be a consensus or there won't. I mean, if the significant majority agree to adopt, I guess that's the basis we've been using for doing it.
Sure.
I mean,
what about a little time to consult with our constituencies on this?
I have no problem with that at all, but the recommendation is due by July 31st.
July 31st.
Yes, today was the day we had to get our
report.
Right,
yes, you're right.
So unfortunately, I mean, the whole thing has been on a timetable that's from hell. So I can't.
Yeah, I understand that, but we do have some sort of requirement to have to be able to prove that.
My suggestion would be therefore that everybody read it today.
Yeah.
Report it to their constituents, and if anybody has any major problems with it, then obviously we have to deal with that.
Sure.
But I think by the 31st, we're required as NAMES Council to either approve and recommend, or not approve and recommend, or whatever. But I think the ICANN board is obviously waiting for something.
Yeah,
all I can tell you is, having spent a long time looking at it, there are problems with it. There's no question about it. I just think the talk should be over. We need to push forward with this thing and see what happens.
Amadeu? Is Amadeu coming?
Yeah, hi, this is John England. I've just joined the call.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring in to discussion, but I just got a message from Amadeu, and he made the wrong number. He's probably trying to reach us with the correct number I sent him.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to send him by email a copy of the right number here.
Yes. Hi, John. This is Faye.
Yeah.
Most of us are here. I don't think we'll trouble to do a roll call at this point. We've had, just to give you a brief summary, we've had Andrew McLaughlin talk about a proposal from the board to bring forward the timetable of recognizing the constituencies so that they can hold elections for board members a little sooner. We'll get back to this later. I'm sure you'll read an email. Plus, we're just discussing Jonathan Cohen's Working Group A report, because he has to get off the line. So bring
okay.
Up to speed.
Great. And,
sorry, I'm chairing.
Okay, and Faye, just when there's an opportunity later on, I have an announcement also that I'd like to make to the group.
Okay, fair enough. I'll bear that in mind.
Okay, thanks.
Right, any questions of Jonathan?
It's Bill Samick, Jonathan, and I want to thank you for putting so much energy into this with what appeared to be not a whole lot of support from the Internet community at large. The advisory committee of the CCTLD constituency had a teleconference yesterday, and I believe we're trying to put together a response to this report, although not an alternative or anything, but just a statement of our interest in continuing to look at this issue. But I do think that in terms of setting the stage for the future on how we handle these things, the fact that the Names Council's role is to facilitate consensus means I think we should at least make an effort, a significant effort in the short time, to communicate this report to our constituencies and get some kind of feedback, at least from the leadership groups.
Yeah, I obviously agree. My only comment again is that I didn't set the timetables, and I've been forced to operate within them, and all I can ask is that everybody else do the best they can to do the same. I don't know whether we need another teleconference, but I would hope that everybody could get back to, say, by the 30th or the 31st, and if there's a consensus, there's a consensus. I'll leave that to Faye to decide.
This is David Johnson. The one reason for any timetable is to give the opportunity for wider notice for comment to the board. We could, I think, make clear in the report submitted to the board that we encourage them to reach out more broadly for further comments in the interim and to look at those, because we didn't have time to do as much of that as we need to.
Well, I think that's a good caveat, yeah.
I think it's great. I think you'll find exactly, I mean, I'll be flabbergasted if you get any more comments.
I think you have five so far.
Yeah, but I mean, that's great. You know, that's 5 out of 5 billion.
Shows what a good job you did.
Exactly. But, you know, I certainly, obviously, the more comment there is, the better. But I think, personally, this thing has been done to death, and I'm hopeful we can get some consensus to move on, but I'll leave that to all of you to decide.
Any more questions?
No more questions. This is Teresa. I just wanted to thank Jonathan, likewise, for all his work and agree with the point. We just need to run it past the constituents to move it forward, that's all.
Okay, so we can finish this point and let Jonathan go. Let's just summarize. We've all got it. We're circulated to our constituencies, or at least the management of our constituencies, if we have such a thing. Comment is going to come via me from the constituencies by the 30th of July, at which point I'll collate it all, circulate my brief report for your approval. On the same, it'll have to be this. It'll have to be what? It'll have to be late 30th or early 31st.
Sounds great.
Just to make sure I understand, is this proposed to apply to all registries?
I think that Amadeo's report says that's what he wants.
Okay.
He dealt with question B, and I haven't got it in front of me, but he'll probably get on.
Sorry, Amadeo's just joined after an incredible mess with the number. What was the question, sorry?
The question was, does this working group A report, is it proposed to apply to all registries?
It's proposed to apply to GTLDs, not to CCTLDs.
Why is that?
Why? Well, I think that we are working on the WIPO final report, and WIPO report was concerned with GTLDs at first hand. So we always worked on that, and it was fair consensus that this kind of uniform dispute resolution cannot be imposed on CCTLDs.
If I can throw in Amadeo, not only was there a problem about whether they can be imposed, I think there's been enough concern expressed from various quarters that we need to go at least a little bit slowly with this process and see how it works. And I think that before anybody's ready to recommend strongly that it be adopted, much less oppose it by all CCLDs, I think it needs to be, test driven.
Applying it to 5 million existing customers is not what I call going slowly.
Well, it may not be, but the answer is that they've talked this to death, Don, for a year, and there seems to be, at this point, I believe there's a fair amount of consensus that we should try it out on this basis, and it's better than anything else that's around. that's the feeling that I have from looking at the RFCs and from listening to people.
Any more comment? We're happy with the actions we're going to do on this one?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'll take silence as approval. Jonathan, thank you very much. If you want to dip out now,
only
sure.
One comment, maybe.
Is oh, yes?
Send your opinions to the Names Council list on the... so that everything is public. Whoever agrees with the report or doesn't agree, address it to Faye, but send it to the
CC
Names Council.
CC the Names Council.
Okay.
And I undertake that if any come to me that aren't CC'd, I will make sure the list see them.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Good luck.
It's Jonathan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, now, we haven't even got to approving the agenda. We had those two urgent items. I'm sorry about that, but these people needed to get off the line. I see that Javier put through an agenda. I see one item that Teresa asked to have added. I've also got John England's comment. Is there anything else to...
There's one that should be taken off. Sorry, this is Ted, Faye.
Yes, that's the vote. Sorry, I forgot. Yes, you want your vote. The vote is to be postponed.
Yeah, there was a couple of requests from the registrars and also the fact that a lot of people are attending the WIPO conference. So,
sure. And I didn't see any objection to that.
No, sorry.
Could we take that to an email vote? That would make it maybe easier.
Is there a scheduled another teleconference coming up?
Nothing is scheduled.
No.
Right. Well, maybe that may be the best thing to do.
If we're talking about Ted Shapiro's proposal, I talked to Ken, and there's still some work for the working group to do to compile a full report there. So I would agree with postponing the vote, but I think we need to... you to produce a report.
Thanks, David. Can we perhaps have a new deadline for receiving the full report then? Ted?
Sure.
What would be reasonable?
Well, I mean, I was able to use a lot of materials and stuff that I found on my own, but I didn't, as per usual, get any input from anyone else. I don't know how much time people need. That's why I'm just hesitating to shout out a date.
Well, let's give them a deadline.
How about another week?
Well, Ken indicated to me some need for time to canvass the registrars fully. I don't know how much he wants.
David, I guess...
How about till August 6th?
That's the deadline for the final, bits of added report and for the canvassing of the registrars.
And then the vote can take place after that on the basis of the report and whatever the proposal looks like at that time.
Okay, so we have a proposal to the Names Council by the 6th of August, maybe another week or two for us maybe 2 weeks to look at it and consult with our constituencies, and maybe we set a deadline beyond that for voting. How does that mean?
Is it in Santiago?
In Santiago, yeah.
But is there any objection to that? Well, I say we go with the 6th of August deadline for the full report to be circulated to the Names Council, and we take a vote on this in Santiago.
Just another question to restate what this report is.
Ted.
Well, I've already done a brief report, which is the second item underneath the item of the agenda. I've called it a report tracing the development of the issue and the proposed amendment, where I went through the various comments and the concerns raised. Now, David has referred to this report again, so I guess it would be a slightly longer report with more detail and also taking into account the comments that are received during the next couple weeks or until August 6th.
So it hasn't been proposed that this report be referred to a working group, but it's continuing to be a specialized...
There was a mini working group formed at the last teleconference, which was Ken Stubbs, David Johnson, and myself. There wasn't too much interplay between us. Did manage to produce this, I guess it's about a 3-page report, which has been sent around to all of you. I don't know if David has anything he wants to add on the report.
I think the major missing ingredient now is simply going out to those who might be impacted and making sure that we have an expression of their views, even if they didn't feel moved to comment. And that's what we had talked to Ken about doing, and he just didn't have time to get to it.
Okay. So that would probably be the main, basically that's the registrars. Getting their views, since they would be the ones that would have to implement this, is certainly fair. And so I hope to add to that report, thanks for the clarification, David, hope to add to this this existing report a little bit more from Ken's constituency.
Yeah, I think we're in danger.
Regarding that, we should collect that among the constituency several times. The question is that there was a meeting today regarding the dispute resolution policy with WIPO in Washington, and many registrars expressed somehow the idea that it was better dealt altogether there in Washington. So probably by the end of this week you will have some feedback on that.
Great. Faye,
yeah,
I could change that date to August 5th so that I could then finalize and send it in by August 6th.
Okay.
Because I believe August 6th is a Friday.
Okay, and August 6th to the Names Council. We're in danger here of just taking all these items as we talk. We're trying to approve the agenda here. So
yes, sorry.
We can get off this one now. Maybe
Sammy, can move. We accept the agenda.
I'll second
Thank
that.
You.
Okay. Well done.
Thank you. And it's a bit remiss of me at this late stage, but is anybody taking notes here? Because I've made notes of the two items that were taken before the agenda. I could pass to whomever is going to write them up. We have a volunteer scribe.
I'll do it, Faye. It's Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline. I don't know if you've taken any notes on the first two items.
I have, but I wouldn't mind your input, too, just to be sure.
Okay,
I'll do
that. No problem. Right. First item, then. Reports from development in working groups B, C, and D. We'll take them in alphabetical order, then. B.
I think B is gone.
Oh, we've done B. Of course, we've done B. I do beg your pardon. C. That's you, Javier.
Working group C, I think the word to describe it is a mess. We have 52 people.
No need to sugarcoat.
Which is about 50% of the General Assembly. And about 95% of list time is spent on procedure, and very, very little on contents. Almost nothing. There's a big thing about the fact that a few people make a lot of noise, claim that the Names Council should not them share a chair, and that the groups should self-organize. And it's really hard. They are really stopping the group from concentrating on doing the work. So there are questions, there are very little responses, very, very few people participating. Many of the people participating in very insulting ways. So it's pretty much like the General Assembly list, but instead of the list, people have moved their efforts to the working group C. I don't know if we're going to get anywhere. We have been able to agree on only one thing. But we have people who do not disagree, and nobody disagrees with the fact that there should be new ETLDs. But there are people who disagree with the fact that there should be called a consensus. So we are at that point of discussion. So it is definitely not a working group. The politics are going farther than the work of the group. There are a lot of economical interests. Who are trying to block any decisions that doesn't go on the way of their own interest. I have called for a vote for a co-chair during the instructions of the Names Council. And some people are trying to block these votes. So it's actually very, very complicated at this point. I don't know if... at this point I'm starting to doubt that Working Group C will come out with anything.
Thank you, Javier. Any comments from anybody else?
That's a matter. I've been watching that, half amused, half worried. and doubting whether we should, I should enter the discussion or not. I will certainly do, but I thought, Javier, sorry to say that, that first we need to go for at least 2 weeks of social therapy before we got into new real work. My comment here is that your description is fairly correct, but the NAMES Council has a duty to manage the process. And given experience, I would say that I've seen some very good reasons for having NAMES Council appointing a chair to make sure that this goes to somewhere, for good or for bad, but at least has some kind of idea of what is the reaction. And here I would say that if, as you were appointed as the co-chair, I would encourage you to forget all the noise there and just pay attention to the real work and collect it, and just forget the rest.
Amadeo, I have a question for you. I mean, this is Teresa. The NAMES Council on the last call had made the decision about the need to have one NAMES Council co-person and then have a vote called for another one. From Javier's description, though, it sounds like not even an interest or willingness to have a vote, and that this has become more of a political games forum as opposed to anything else. How, basically, we need to figure out how to handle that kind of situation, and at which point the NAMES Council co-person, though they've called for election and not received any response that's something to move forward on, when do they draw the line, and when do they say, okay, this is it, we're moving forward in a different direction?
Teresa, this is David Johnson. I think we would be best able to evaluate that kind of situation if we had a little bit more substantive report from the current operating chair as to where the substantive issues do appear to be. So one thing we could do as a NAMES Council is to ask the chair of the working group to give us a more detailed description of where the core substantive disagreements may be, and a recommendation on a procedural move of some kind.
I think that sounds like a good idea, yeah. Though my sense is that there's been almost zero on the substance, and what substance does exist exists in the charter that's listed on the website. Now, I may be wrong, but...
Let me answer that.
Excuse me, can Javier answer, please?
Yeah. The thing is that usually working groups are trying to find consensus on different issues. And when you start a working group and the first thing that the people say is, we don't have to follow this charter, it makes it really hard. You know, we have created a working group to work on a very specific issue. If the people in the working group start saying, you know, no, let's find our own charter, let's discuss whatever else we want, that is a problem. We had a set of questions to be answered. The working group says, you know, not the working group, very few people in the working group says, no, those are not, because my economical interests go somewhere else. So if we, they are not destroyed, they have trying to work around the charter of the working group, and that opens the spectrum of everything you have to work on and makes it almost impossible to concentrate and work. There's no attempt to consensus. There are very few people participating. Out of the 52 people in the working group, no more than 5 or 6 are doing anything. About 50%, I mean, I would say about 5% of the emails received are on substance. All others are just comments on things that should happen, should not happen, personal insults, the usual thing.
This is Bill Semick. I'm in that group. I'd like to make a couple of comments, if it's okay.
Yep.
Go ahead, Bill.
You could probably personify me as participant number 6. I think I've posted 1 or 2 items in all the discussions, and I've been mainly watching the discussions because I've got several other activities. But I do perceive what's going on as an attempt to define leadership in this working group. I suspect there are at least 3 and maybe 4 different interests being represented, and some of the activity is really mainly focused on who's going to become the leader or whose position will be represented as the leadership position in this group. I do know there is a group that is trying to participate in the co-chair election, and Javier has put forward two names, and people have voted for either.
No, I have not put forward two names.
I'm sorry, you have opened nominations for two names, and two of them are now being voted on. And people are voting on those, but not very many people are voting. There are 50 people in the group, and only how many votes have you actually gotten out of here?
Seven as of this morning.
And today's the last day, tomorrow's the last day to vote. But the point I would make is that the bylaws actually do require that each constituency have a representative in the work groups. And I think if the members of this names council who represent each constituency were to assure that they had at least one active participant in this work group, the issue of leadership would not be a problem anymore.
Bill, can I respond to that?
Sure.
This is Teresa, actually. I think, at least my understanding from people that I've spoken to who are in the business constituency and who are seeking to participate in this working group, is I would say expressions of frustration that it's being used to conduct conversations and things regarding procedural issues that have already been decided and not focused on substance. So I think my understanding is that constituency members are very interested in participating, but not if it's an unconstructive forum. And the purpose of the working group is, as was mentioned earlier, to reach consensus, not to carry out political battles. And, you know, there is a co-chair named, there's a seeking of elections, people should have the opportunity to participate. But we all know that we don't respond to some lists because of the process by which then lists and discussions get way off whack. So perhaps we should try to look at a means by which other constituency members are even interested in participating and not discouraged from being involved in the process so that they can take part and we can make sure that the representation is actually heard as opposed to just watching the massive amounts of emails going back and forth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody on the Names Council has any suggestions on how to do that, but I very much support having the open and transparency, but we need to make sure that we actually get the work done.
I have a suggestion here, Javier. I think that the chairs of the working group should have the ability of somehow making periodical reports on what they believe the substance issues are being discussed. For instance, even selecting the substantive emails and putting that in a special page. This is not to say that the rest of the discussion should not be archived. It should indeed. But there is somehow a need for people just being able to read what's interesting. And then also there should be a need to try to get those making substantive proposals to have some kind of dialogue. Because what I witnessed here, as somehow Bill said, was, you know, a kind of surge of leadership with people putting completely parallel proposals. And that's okay for the very beginning. Now it's being done. Now it's time for just working on that and forgetting all the rest.
Amadeo, you're suggesting that we have a method by which those who are interested in a constructive dialogue can continue to have that and those messages are posted, or...?
Well, something like it could be done by two different ways. One is, you know, knowing that some kind of message with some kind of subject line is something like the week report or the 2 days report or the 3 days report or the progress we're doing in each substantive question. Other way, just, giving the ability to the chairs to select the messages that are posted to a special page.
Oh, I see. That's actually an interesting approach. And then those who are participating which wish to read any of the messages can focus that are targeted for that.
Indeed, I will personally keep reading the whole thing, but that's my personal option.
Yeah.
Well, the other option is to have a second mailing list only for contents. And,
that's impossible. That's impossible to control, yeah?
Yeah, only one person sends the emails there.
Javier, that's a real tough one. I'm sorry, this is Ted. Speaking for someone who works in the audiovisual sector, when it comes to deciding what content is what, it becomes very difficult, and you may not want to get into that game.
The problem is that we're kicking...
Sorry, can I just... sorry, Javier, can I ask a question because I'm not on the working group? Have you successfully got your three subgroups yet? I mean, are they all decided?
Well, we got them, but as there are people who like to have their own registry and then they decide what the GTLDs are, they have managed to take the discussion up to the working group C list instead of working on subgroups.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Creating, this huge mess because they are not interested on separating the questions because then it's not good for their business model. The problem is that we are the Names Council. We represent the constituencies. We represent the major players of the internet community. In the way the working groups are working, especially working group C, we have delegated the drafting part of the process to a group of people who at this point do not represent at all the constituencies. So we are dissociating the working groups from the Names Council. By making them very open to everybody, we have turned them into a General Assembly list where anybody can come and try to block the process or try to drive their own way, otherwise it doesn't work. Otherwise they block it. At this point, everything that the Names Council decides on procedures for working groups is going to drive to either we keep the power for the constituencies or we give it away to whoever screams louder. And to me, at this point, working group C is the proof that we are giving the power to whomever screams louder. So this is not, but then whatever working group C comes out with, if it comes out with something, we'll have to go through the constituencies, who very few of which are actually participating on the decisions. And so we are going to have a decision group that is different from the one that is preparing documents. And I think at this point that we're doing it wrong, that opening a working group to anybody who wants to come is not a good idea. That we need smaller working groups where everybody is represented, including the General Assembly, but everybody has a weight. And if somebody is out of line and starts insulting people and starts saying, no, I don't believe in the charter of this working group, then they are replaced by somebody else from the group who can actually try to work with the other people.
Yeah. But Javier, if people don't agree with the charter, surely they're allowed not to agree with it. That's not insulting.
But
I mean, maybe
why do you create the working group? You create the working group because you want to work on an issue.
I mean, I agree that it's a very good idea to put up an initial document as you did, a very substantial document, but mm-hmm. Are people saying they don't agree with it, or are they coming back with other suggestions?
No.
There are sort of suggestions like, we shouldn't do this.
So, Javier, you have a chair of a working group has the option, it seems to me, of reaching out to constructive contributors, both in the group and those who may not yet be in the group, and to start to write additional substantive documents that could still then be put back to the working group for their reaction. But it is not, you are not hostage to what the people who sign up for the working group want to do. You can, as a leader of a working group, go out and enlist in other contributors and write substantive documents.
Yeah, that's I think the way to go.
In other words, Javier, I think that your either-or alternative was too radical. We need to learn how to work and make this advance in a noisy landscape. That's it, yeah? It's not that we should cut the noise off. It's rather impossible.
This is Bill Samick. I'd like to comment if possible.
Go ahead, Bill.
Actually, I have seen a sort of a sub discussion going on in the midst of all this noise. I think Javier will confirm that on some issues that were raised, and it's a valuable discussion. I'm in the habit of ignoring noise on a lot of lists and have appreciated the fact that there are some members on this list who are able to ignore the noise as well and continue the discussion. I do agree with Javier that I think we should have a stronger role for the constituencies in all committees, and I think the bylaws actually spell that out, and it's probably in the Names Council's hands to make sure that we actually require each constituency to participate in these things. I know Network Solutions has been in the background on this committee and probably has more to offer in the way of information, if not policy ideas, than anyone else who's on the group.
Well, we can't force anybody to join the working groups, but the point is that a working group in which there's the person from his constituency and then there are 50 more people will have problems working, especially if there are votes taken, because in theory everybody in the working group has the same power, voting power. What we have to do is be very careful when we prepare the procedures for working groups, make sure that we make them workable.
Thanks, Javier. I would like to put a comment here, not with my chairman's hat on, but maybe, I mean, it's easy to speak with hindsight and know and say, told you so, but maybe we need to get these rules for working groups in place before we have any more, and maybe learn from the experiences that we've had with the existing working groups to try and pin it down a little.
Well, it's clear that we have to work on them very quickly.
Yes.
This is Don Talage. Bill, we've been reluctant to join very deeply any working groups while the controversy over the GTLD constituency membership was brewing, and we're more than happy to participate in that. And you're right, we do have some ideas and would be, I think, able to be constructively helpful.
Thanks.
There's consensus.
In the meantime, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave the call, and so I thank you and I apologize.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks for the line, Don.
Bye-bye.
The consensus that seems to be coming out of this meeting is that we need to get somebody from each constituency on board who is actually working, and that those people, along with Javier, have to try and ignore some of the noise and get some substantive document out for comment. And bearing in mind, you talk about voting, but working groups don't really make policy decisions, they just contribute to the document. So I don't think their vote is quite as strong as being able to get something for the whole General Assembly and the constituencies to be able to comment on. So maybe if we could make an action about getting somebody in each constituency to be an active member of that group, is that the sort of thing that seems to be coming out of the meeting here?
Excuse me, Faye, this is Ted.
Yeah.
Is there, Javier, do you know which constituencies are not represented? Maybe if you could...
Only GTLDs.
There's no one...
A real question of which are representative and active.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
But there is a lack of coordination. For example, in the AP constituency, I'd like to see if there are two people, and I'd like to see if they coordinate with the Names Council members. You know, that... it's the same thing, you know, we... At least in the business constituency, we do have a number of people in the working group.
Right.
But they're very quiet also.
Right, okay, because I was aware that there were some people from the IP constituency, but perhaps they are also being very quiet for the reasons that have been outlined.
Yeah,
this is Teresa. I mean, it's the same for the business constituency. There's people who would like to be involved, but, you know, until there's some constructive method of participating.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Teresa. This is John. I agree.
Yeah, and so I think that, you know, we should have a system where the chair can really sort of make the decisions and make sure the work goes forward, and that this is on trying to get that done.
Well, rather than the chair, I think that would open us up to more criticism. It might be good to have a sort of an inner sanctum of working group in which each constituency is represented actively, and that member is on that committee on the basis that they consult regularly with other people in their constituency.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach, but as soon as you make any sub-things of any sort, it also opens the door for criticism, and that's something that the chair has to end up dealing with.
Sure, sure. I didn't mean secret in that respect, but to use Bill's line, to be able to ignore the noise and just push through the work. On the list, but, you know...
We are able to do that, but
yep.
We are involving these working groups, people who are not used to this kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
sure.
they are even kicked out of the list. I'm sure they're not reading it anymore.
Yeah,
When you get, in the same day, 50 emails from Chris Hambler, from Milton Miller, all on procedure, Javier should get out of it, shouldn't be a chair, the Names Council should not name any chairs, and they get 50 of these emails every day. Of course, they are not interested in following the mailing list. They can't.
Well, I think it does two things. I think one is it discredits anything and everything involved with this. which is unfortunate because that's nobody's intent. And second, it really discourages their participation of the observation that this is not the kind of environment people work in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very correct.
And it really makes it, I think, almost impossible for the chair to function.
Yes. So, I mean, I think that the chair needs to be able to say, this is an unprofessional environment, this is unacceptable, and unless everybody, and I hate to use this phrase, grows up and stops playing political games in these working groups, you know, we need to figure out a means to resolve it. So I very much support having, you know, constituency, sort of a smaller group doing the work, things like that. I think as constituency representatives for this interim period, we have an incredible responsibility to our constituents. Be sure that they are involved and have a means to participate and encourage them to participate. That's part of our responsibility in addition to the outreach and everything else. So we have sort of a twofold responsibility here, which is criticized, not criticized. It really depends on what move one makes what day. But I think we really should try to make this function. And
I think my suggestion, Teresa, was maybe that the constituencies work offline on their input into whatever there is to review, and then that one sensible, you know, so that your business community, you pass a document to them, so this is what's up for, you know, for comment. You work offline, you work on your own line about what you feel should be corrected or what you agree with, and then you pass that back into the chair, rather than try and, your constituency people trying to discuss it on a list that's full of other stuff.
Yes, no, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
That also will involve maybe assigning or appointing somebody from each constituency.
That's what we say, yeah, an official sort of representative. I think Bill said, getting back to what Bill said, an official representative on each committee.
Well, you don't have to do that official as part of the working group procedures, but you can have each constituency decide that by themselves. So
yes,
this is
exactly
the person that will be speaking for us in working group C.
Bill, is that the sort of thing you had in mind?
Yeah, I think it might work. What you really need is a more distributed leadership so that if the chair speaks, you get people who are seen to speak for other constituencies speaking as well.
Yes, that might help too.
May I add something, please? There is a lot of people belonging to this working group C, discussing about GTLDs. And they claim they belong to General Assembly, not to the constituency. How can you manage that?
Good point.
I figure out that Amadeu's idea to put some kind of parallel list to every working group, something like weekly report about C, weekly report about D, etc., and write to this special list only some substance, maybe help a little bit, but how to deal with these people claiming to be from the General Assembly and not from constituency?
Yeah. You could always call, oh no, you couldn't really.
You cannot do anything, Faye.
No, you're right.
There's one thing you can do. Do what the ITF does, ITF. You create a second list. And it's a chairs list, and there are two chairs. You could have two different chairs lists, and the chairs send to that list anything the chair wants, with the rule. You know, just like, for example, I have, besides the regular list, I have a list in which I am going to send anything that has to do with contents. If an email has something on procedure of the working group, I will not send it to that list. You're free to subscribe to that list if you want. You're free to subscribe to the working group C list where everything is going to go. Or you can trust me and only subscribe to the other list. But it's your choice. You can be working group C list and get everything.
I think with what Ted said, that you're going to have problems, though, with people jockeying for the chair position.
Yeah, I mean, you set yourself up as it's not a bad idea, Javier. Unfortunately, you set yourself up as a filter like that, and you're going to be open to even more criticism.
Javier, you have fortunate, but way for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good idea. I'm just worried about the mechanics of it.
This is Teresa. I like the idea of just sending out a weekly update that gets posted someplace.
Yes.
That also allows us to update our constituencies on a regular basis.
Yeah, it shows the progress.
And then if there needs to be, you know, a smaller group working, you know, people inevitably will end up communicating with those other people that have constructive comments on working with things. So.
And you don't need to edit that much. Perhaps sometimes it's just a collection of the relevant mails. So it's kind of a substitute for this separate list. I think now perhaps it's a little bit premature to install this kind of double list, yeah?
So,
Sorry,
we've now got sort of two quite positive suggestions here. We've got post the substantive mails once a week or so and yet take an action for each constituency to find somebody to be the official liaison so that constituencies can work in, offline on these issues and then report back in. Is this of any help to you, Javier, in your...
Yes, that is of help. Mm-hmm. And the only problem with this is the time frame.
Yes.
What it means is that, we have an August 9th deadline.
Can you remind us where that deadline came from? Is that an ICANN deadline?
No. That's the calendar that we set for the first report of Working Group C. So that was on the calendar that we set with the charter. And we probably won't have, at that point, anything.
Shall we review our deadline?
Yeah, because at this point, if we do this, we go back to the constituencies, we try to get answers from the constituencies, that's going to take time, and we should make it take time. I mean, we should give ourselves time to get something right.
Yeah. Would you like to propose a new deadline, Javier?
I'll do it on email.
Okay, fair enough. Have a think about it and come back to us. That's another action. I'm just making a note.
Faye?
Yes?
I am just reading mails arriving about our names council, and there are two questions concerning this discussion about working group, both coming from Jean-Michel Becard from ETSI. Shall I read it?
Please.
The first is, I think we need a strong moderator, but not from the Names Council. It seems that people won't agree on that, and maybe the Committee on Working Rules and Procedure could help to fix that problem. And the second message is, by the way, I think the working groups actually need a moderator and a rapporteur, and those words won't be seen as strong as chair. I think that just a political problem, people think that the chair will have all the power. Okay.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Any comments on that?
I definitely agree that the terms moderator are much more politically palatable. This is Ted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. But then you don't have chairs and moderator, but moderators will have the same battle on that. The question was not whether it was this chair or another chair. The question is people opposing anything, right? So if the next time you go there with a moderator, you will oppose the moderator.
Okay.
This is John Englin. I unfortunately have to jump off the call here. I've got a series of meetings I've got to jump into. I'll make my announcement via email so I don't take time up here, if that's okay.
Yep, fair enough.
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks for your participation. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, John.
And I have a second comment. First mail from Jean-Michel. I think that he couldn't be more wrong here. Names Council is especially in charge of managing the process, and should be aware that the problem here we had is what is not that there was consensus on this shouldn't be a Names Council person managing it. It's simply that people was disagreeing. But when time came to propose an alternative, it was known.
The thing is, we'd already imposed a chair by then, and I think it was Bill made the comment in the last one that maybe the working groups in future should set their own chairs and there should be an official observer from the Names Council. But
this is Teresa. I think that maybe in the future when the structure is sort of up and running, that may be an option. But if any indication is how the working group experience right now is, getting everybody familiar with it, I still think we need to have somebody who at least has the responsibility. And since the Names Council is responsible for ensuring that there are and consensus and all those kinds of things, at this point, the responsibility can only lie with the interim chairperson until there's other appointments or something of that sort. There was one other suggestion I wanted to make was, if we have representatives of the constituencies and make sure that they're sort of the lead people in the working group, perhaps one suggestion is that they also have the responsibility of coordinating with the chair in the work, as well as the co-chair, whoever that may be, that the members nominate. So not only do those representatives of the constituencies report back to the constituencies, but coordinate with the chair in letting them know as far as where there's consensus or where there may be issues arising, and maybe that would sort of help taper down some of the politics a little bit and just all outright attacks. I mean, I think it doesn't matter what we call the person. Somebody has to be in charge in coordination with somebody else. We can call them whatever we want, but they'll still be criticized. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't see any difference in changing the names.
Neither do I. I agree with Teresa.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is Ted. I guess I have to agree too, unfortunately.
I mean, I'd love to call it anything. It wouldn't matter to me what, but the fact of the matter is anybody who tries to do anything in sort of a, not leadership, but coordinating position is susceptible to criticism. However, if we manage to do it with, let's say, representatives of the different constituencies in coordination with the two co-chairs or co-moderators or whatever we want to call them, perhaps that would help alleviate some of the politics.
Yeah, I agree.
Faye, may I add something?
Yes.
Just my observation from this list. I think that there is a strategy for some of people just not to have anything to work.
Oh, well, you get that with any organization, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is also some kind of business strategy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can only learn by these early working groups, I guess. So when we, as I say, I keep harping back to this, but we need some procedures that take into consideration the early experiences that we've had, I guess.
Yeah, and
I think
something that certainly the committee D is starting to work on, which I'll get into, or continuing to work on, but I think one thing that certainly helps trying to formulate something that's going to function is seeing the experience of the working group A and C and B and everything else.
Sure.
Certainly helps point out some of the mistakes.
Thanks, Teresa. Any more comments on C? Let me move on to D.
The final question from Bill Semek. Have we
resolved
that we're going to do these two suggestions, or are we leaving it in the hands of work?
Well, I've sort of written them down as actions because I thought we'd sort of agreed on them, but please comment if anybody feels differently. Javier said he felt...
It's an action item for the constituencies themselves.
Yes, exactly.
And for you to remind them.
Hey, the two actions are to go back or have one... try to have constituency representation and then to change the names.
No, I think the actions were that Javier might post substantive mails once a week or so or whatever date seems appropriate, and that the constituencies try and the sensible people in each constituency actually want to work, do it offline and feed it through one official representative who should make themselves known to Javier, and maybe if mails go out with the backing of the chair and the person representing the constituency, that they might help to alleviate the problems, as Teresa said.
Okay.
Maybe also as a backup to the secretariat, just to have an escrow somewhere.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. Any more comments on C, or can we move on to D? Yep. Let's move on to D.
Oh, sorry, that's me.
Morning.
Okay, let me just give a quick update. We had a quote-unquote charter, I guess, if you want to call it that, for Committee D, which is for Business Plan and Internal Procedures. It was put out on the 23rd of July, circulated to General Assembly, everybody else posted up on the site. In there, it sets out a time frame, which basically is the posting of the charter, nominations for the co-chairs, election of the co-chair, work on recommendations, and posting of recommendations for public comment and that process. And there's a note in there that the first priority is really the working group procedures to continue on the work that Bill Semich had started out and to make sure that we can finalize that discussion and get it up for posting of comments and things like that. I've gotten responses. There were, I believe it was five people who had expressed interest prior to putting up the charter or working document, whatever you want to call it. And I've received interest from, I believe it's 5 or 6 people so far, who've sent me notes and wanted to be added to the list. So we'll begin the working process shortly. The group is divided into two subgroups. One is to focus on process and procedures of the DNSO, which includes listserv procedures, reviewing of working groups, committee proposals, et cetera, just so that we have something as far as procedures go. And obviously, a lot of it will be based on what we've learned from our past experience. The second is trying to set forward a business plan for the DNSO. It raises certain questions, such as, do we need to have a secretariat to help coordinate some of the administrative functions that we have? Elizabeth has done a fabulous job with the webcasting, or with the
lists and the website, yeah,
and all those kinds of things. And she's doing that on a voluntary basis right now. So it's a question of, does the DNSO as an overall, you know, how do we want to handle things in the future?
Yeah, sure.
To handle them. The overall budget of the DNSO with regards to the bridges for conference calls and webcasting expenses, something we need to address a little bit later. Websites and listservs, is there any way we can be more effective? Is there any way we can do more outreach, ensure that constituencies have outreach, et cetera? And to look at meetings and how to best coordinate the in-person meetings, is there anything procedurally that we could help do a little bit better? And also, how do we help cover the expenses for that? Because the DNSO is responsible for covering the expenses of its meetings, including the webcasting issue. So those are the two subgroups. And basically, I anticipate that we'll have some really good dialogues and some ideas that we can get out. That's it.
Thank you. Comments, please. We're all happy with that?
Yeah, just one question, Theresa. Is there any specific proposal coming on for Santiago as for funding, or at least interim funding of the NSO?
Actually, that was for interim funding for Santiago? Or do you mean just for the webcasting issue?
Webcasting and rooms and, you know, something like an interim budget for this month, yeah?
Yeah, as most of you or probably all of you have seen, I sent out a note to the General Assembly, it must have been about a week and a half ago, concerning the expenses for the webcasting in Santiago, and basically trying to seek suggestions or ideas from the General Assembly on how we might approach doing that, since I think it, as an interim names council, to commit ourselves to enormous amounts of funds that we don't have a business plan for would be somewhat irresponsible. However, the feedback that was gotten from that was, I think, in the best terms, could be said mixed. There were some interesting suggestions, such as corporations fronting the money for the constituencies and then retrieving the cost once the constituencies figure out how to get that cost covered. I think from a corporate standpoint, that's probably not a viable option. The second option was that no one pays, or second suggestion, and I'm just grouping these together in the general categories. There was one suggestion to have it broadcasted by a major television network. I don't know whether that's really something that we can do, given that it would seem unlikely to me that there's no strings attached with that. And the other suggestion was in the realms of trying to find alternative funding. So I feel like we're back at square one, and maybe that the Names Council will have to make a decision on one specific approach, either that if we don't have the funds, then we can't webcast it, or alternatively, that the constituencies are basically requested to put forward a certain amount of funds and commit to that. There is a precedent at ICANN and DNSO, I believe it's ICANN, I can't recall correctly, meetings that there is a basic charge, let's say, I think it was a $50 charge or something, we certainly did this at IFWP as well, to cover the expenses for the rooms and things. And some of that can cover towards the cost of the webcasting, but the webcasting itself is exorbitantly expensive to do because of bandwidth issues and everything. So in Santiago, we could have an entrance fee, basically, to attend the meeting. But there's my understanding is that probably wouldn't cover all of the costs for us. So I don't know. I mean, the webcasting expense is estimated to be about $5,000. The rooms, I'm not sure. I haven't been in touch with the people in Santiago. But it's really for us to decide how we want to handle this.
Teresa, the thing that we mustn't be accused of is disenfranchising anybody who hasn't got a lot of money, of course.
Absolutely, and it's a bit of a catch-22. I mean, absolutely, that's exactly what we need to prevent. But we also need to make sure that the costs of all this are distributed equally among everybody. It's not fair to try to have one constituency carry a lot of the cost burdens or anything else, and aside from the fact that that's been criticized as well. So we need to try to find a means, and this is obviously what the business plan would need to address as well, but making sure that the costs and expenses are really distributed according to everybody and not disenfranchising at the same time people without any ability to cover the costs.
Have we investigated sponsorship in any great deal? I mean, I don't mean, you know, sponsorship for particularly, say, for a room or something.
But in which way?
Well, when centers held meetings in the past, which, you know, would have incurred people with a lot of expense, we have managed, and I think it was people, of course, CCTLDs are particularly attractive to, say, Cisco or Bay Networks or whatever. You know, we've had these sort of people provide rooms for us.
Yes, but I mean, I think...
for being able to put posters around the room, you know?
Yeah, but I think, you know, there's been quite a bit of criticism about not sponsorship, but it's been claimed to be that, and assisting financially with various things that can go on in this process. And, you know, there's only, I mean, sponsorship is one thing, but to cover the expenses, at least from a company standpoint, also then ends up being misperceived and criticized. So, and we've certainly seen many of those experiences in the past and, you know,
okay,
hear about it. So I think from a sponsorship standpoint, at least for the DNSO right now, that wouldn't really be something
okay.
that would be an option.
Okay.
Did you see the email from, and I could be entirely naive to think this could happen at no cost, but from Jeff Williams?
You would completely ignore any email from Jeff Williams.
Well, he indicates that the CNN and TBS would be willing
sure.
to.
In his dream.
They are indirectly members of one of the constituencies, and that would be problematic for sure.
Okay.
Question from Bill Semick.
Yep.
I do recall seeing an email, which I believed, from, it might have been Patricio Poblete or someone in Chile, in which there had been an offer for the local university to webcast.
This is Andrew. I'm actually still on the call. Maybe I can just clarify the state of Santiago planning right now. The University of Chile is in fact donating a bunch of meeting spaces to us. It's not enough for all the constituency groups to meet in. So what we've done is reserve some rooms at the Crown Plaza Hotel to sort of handle the overflow, and I think maybe the Governmental Advisory Committee will also be meeting at the Crown Plaza. It looks like the overall room meeting cost in total is going to be no more than maybe $2,000 or $2,500. So I'm actually fairly pleased with how that's turning out right now. And at least three or four of the constituencies will be able to meet at the university itself. In addition, the General Assembly and the Names Council will both be able to meet in the main auditorium, which is pretty well hardwired for webcasting and so forth. The problem is that it does still cost a certain amount of money to do the webcast with all of the functionality that we've come to expect from it, namely the ability to provide real-time comments and to throw up real-time scribes notes. So I mean, this is not, I mean, you know, these functions are going to be provided. It's not like the DNSO is going to get cut off if it doesn't raise some money. But this sort of raises the long-term question of what the cost recovery basis for the DNSO is going to be. On sponsorship, Florencio Utreras and Patricio Pobleta and others have been trying to round up some sponsors, and I'm hopeful that if that's successful, maybe most or maybe even more than most of the costs associated with these meetings will be subsidized. I mean, as everybody knows, ICANN is almost completely broke right now, so we're doing everything we can to try to keep it cheap and to keep it cheap for the DNSO as well.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew, that actually, we have gotten some emails of people who have been trying to help to find other means of doing this. So that goes to what Andrew was saying as well. But it is a long-term issue that we need to address and figure out how to disseminate the costs equally among the DNSO.
Okay. Any more comments at this point?
Can I just add that once we should agree that once we hear what the overage is at Santiago, we agree among ourselves to find a way to fund it after the fact?
I'm sorry, Bill, can you repeat that?
Andrew mentions a number of, say, $2,000 or $3,000 plus something for the webcasting, which I'm sure we'll need to share in. And I'm just proposing that we agree now, or find consensus that we agree that once we know this dollar figure, that we will determine a way to pay for it after the fact.
Yeah, Andrew, will the upfront...
I thought we are required to. We don't need to agree.
Yeah, but can I just get some procedure in here? Andrew, will this will be invoiced to ICANN, who would presumably invoice any uncovered costs onto DNSO?
Yeah, I mean, we want to do this in a cooperative way, so we're making the arrangements, and the bills will come to us, and, you know... barring disaster, we'll have enough funds to pay those bills down in the first instance.
Yeah, but from your experience of other meetings, how long does it take before you would be in a position to be able to say, hey, well, the DNSO actually cost X?
Well, I think I can say right now with some certainty that meeting rooms will cost somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000.
DNSO meeting rooms, though?
Correct.
Okay.
And maybe closer to two than to three.
Okay.
I haven't seen. I have not yet seen a breakdown bill from the Crown Plaza, and again,
sure.
that's assuming that. Well, shouldn't even say assuming. At least three, maybe four of the constituencies will be meeting at the university itself. In any event, I would say that if you banked on $2,000 for that, and I don't know the number for the webcast yet, but they're really. I mean, it's basically just the DNSO's fair share for a General Assembly and for a Names Council webcast. You know, we're providing all of the full webcasting functionality,
mm-hmm.
and the additional marginal cost of providing the DNSO webcast is really just Ben Edelman's labor, and I guess the labor of any of the Chilean people who are helping out on this.
Maybe if you could take an action to sort of come up with a figure on that, we could post it to the NC list and then have an email discussion on how we raise that sort of money.
I'll do that. I'll do that as soon as I'm able. It may be
okay.
It may be at least a week before I actually have any hard numbers on the webcast.
Okay, fair enough. Does that meet with everybody's approval that we discuss this bill's proposal online when we get some more substantive information on the costs?
Yeah, this is Teresa. That sounds fine. I'd gotten one estimate of around $5,000, so that may... I don't know if that changes according to the University of Santiago at all, but sounds fine that we wait until we get some harder figures.
Right.
With you, Bill? Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say the basis of that $5,000, incidentally, is that our overall expected costs for the webcast of everything, which includes the ICANN public meeting, the ICANN board meeting, the public forum for the GAC, and the two DNSO-related meetings, tallies up to about $20,000. And the $5,000 was sort of Ben Edelman's best guess at a fair apportionment to the DNSO. It doesn't even reflect sort of hours of webcasting time.
Okay.
Was sort of just an assessment of kind of maybe about a quarter of it is fair for the DNSO to pay. So I'm not sure that you're going to get much in the way of a hard figure on that. We can try to apportion it down by actual hours of webcasting. But I'll send an email to the council with my best sense of those numbers, and you all can do with it what you want.
Thanks. Does that meet with your approval, Bill, if we discuss this online with the...
Sure. Sounds good.
Yep. Okay. We'll do that. Right. Well, we've lost John with his extra item. Teresa, have you any... Sorry, I should have asked you any more to add on your item.
No, it was just the webcasting, because I just want to make sure that we have something up and running to make sure that everybody has access to the meeting.
Okay.
So it was just a concern of the time is moving, and we still have some stuff to do to coordinate and organize that meeting.
Okay.
Faye, this is Andrew. Don't let me interfere with your agenda, but one item that might be timely to talk about is that there's been some discussion from Dennis Jennings, among others, on the lists about reconfiguring the schedule for Santiago in order to make the General Assembly a full day.
I'm not sure
if that's an agenda item for you to discuss later, but it's a relatively urgent matter because the meeting planning has been going on the basis of the Names Council's prior sense, or at least my sense of the Names Council's prior wishes, which was to do constituencies in the morning on Tuesday, the General Assembly in the afternoon. If there's going to be any reconfiguration of that, it's got to be almost immediate because it'll require a considerable retooling of our meeting planning. I'm not even sure that it would actually be physically possible at this point to get the rooms that would be needed to make that happen. But
it wouldn't affect travel plans. I'm afraid we are not able to do that now.
Fine. And I should just note that then in closing that the website, the times that are listed on the website and the ICANN site and also the local host committee site are entirely flexible on the DNSO side. They're just my best guess of when you all might have wanted to meet. If you have any changes or alterations to them, you just have to let me know, and we'll update the website accordingly.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm afraid I raised the question twice, was for the Names Council and the General Assembly, because if I remember the local side, it states Names Council and constituencies in parallel. And then Dennis sent them as a proposal for a full day General Assembly, and
that
a little bit confused.
That actually has been corrected now, Amadeo. That there were some translation miscommunications, and I edited the site myself in English anyway, and so hopefully the site that that you can pull up now is accurate.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think the concern of Dennis and others in the General Assembly is that if people are going a long way to partake in this, and that to get anything substantial done on these occasions when the General Assembly does have the chance to meet, that we need a full agenda and time to debate these items, and that one day would be a sort of a minimum time for this. It may be that this cannot be done on this particular occasion, but it might be something we need to take into consideration in future planning.
Yes, then... Also, we could count in Santiago how many people from the General Assembly are not also in a constituency meeting at least.
I don't think his proposal is that they're in parallel with each other. Sorry, am I misunderstanding you?
No. My point is that, yes, indeed, but we also need constituency meetings.
Yes, but maybe in the planning of a future meeting, if it can't be done for this one, I mean, I don't think anybody's doubting that we need constituency meetings, but it doesn't necessarily have to follow that they have to be on that particular day.
Mm-hmm. I guess that, I don't know for the rest of you, but, you know, being summer in Europe and having, you know, flights that are not each day to Santiago, it would be perhaps a little bit difficult to change the schedule right now.
Yeah, I think there is a principle here, as well as the practicalities of this particular meeting, that to think that a schedule of half a day is enough, maybe that needs to be rethought. And if it might be that absolutely nothing can be done about this one, but it's worth raising for future if we can't
okay.
do it about this one.
I think it's something to raise for future meetings, but I think given the circumstances for the Santiago one and that the agenda's been out, it may be very difficult given people's travel schedules and everything to make this adjustment now.
I'll
guess get something to be considered for future meetings.
Well, given the comment of the Names Council and the comment from Andrew, maybe I should take the action to go back to Dennis and mention these views.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad because...
Not only to Dennis, but to clarify that on the General Assembly.
Yes, I mean, I will write to Dennis and CC the General Assembly, yes.
Yeah, Faye, I mean, he put together a pretty interesting full-day schedule, and it definitely has merit, and it probably the GA should have a full day, unfortunately. The schedule is, if you look at the website, it's well-booked. The rooms are all in place, everything.
Yeah, but for a few, maybe...
The reference, yes, this is Ted, I agree with that, too.
Is everybody happy that we add this to our, when we plan our next meetings, or we make an official announcement to ICANN that we would like to have a whole day at future meetings for General Assembly? Should there be a General Assembly, it should actually be for a whole day, but maybe there isn't much that we can do about this one because of the time
today.
Okay,
why don't we wait?
Let the General Assembly take that on Santiago, perhaps, yeah?
Yes.
Let's wait for the General Assembly to take place, and we'll see how much time we need for one.
Yeah, that's another good point. That experience will teach us something, too.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I'm not making any decisions here, Javier. I'm just proposing that I write on behalf of the Names Council a response to Dennis, that it has been raised in this meeting. We've had ICANN input.
I don't think we have to respond to Dennis. I mean, Dennis made a comment, very impolite, if I might say so, to the General Assembly and not to the Names Council. So
well, it's the General Assembly, as somebody's already said, it's the General Assembly that decides on the General Assembly issues, I guess, to some degree.
Well, anybody can say anything they want. We have worked on this for 2 months. We have set out the calendar, reserved the rooms. I think Dennis' email was very out of place, calling the Names Council a mockery.
Okay, that's perfect. That's your opinion. But by the way, I would like having, you know, all this clarified for the rest of us. And I think that Faye's point is well taken here.
No, what I mean is I don't think the Names Council needs to respond to an email sent to the General Assembly.
Well, I will respond to Dennis and report to him the discussions that were had
That's fine, but the Names Council does not have to respond to a person's emails.
It doesn't have to, no. Thank you for your opinion.
No, I don't think that we have to respond to anything that comes this late. If he addresses the Names Council, then we might want to answer. But if he addresses the Assembly...
We will ask, if you recall, this issue wasn't raised by me or anybody else in the Names Council. It was raised by ICANN just now. That's the only reason it hit the agenda here.
Yeah, no, but I don't disagree with it being on the agenda, Faye. But I don't think the Names Council should pronounce itself on this issue.
Well, we already have. We're webcasting it.
No, yeah. That's not what what I'm saying is that we should not make a comment about somebody's email. Well, we have made it. We have posted the agenda for Santiago. I mean the structure of the meeting. And if anybody wants to comment to the Names Council, they're free to do it. But they should address the Names Council.
Right, thank you for your opinion. We're diverting slightly from the agenda here.
Excuse me, Faith, Bill, have we answered
yes?
Andrew's question? That's why I just want to be sure he understands that that answer was for him.
Yes. Is Andrew still with us?
I think I understand. If there are to be any changes, I'll wait to hear word from the Chief Council,
yeah.
But... Otherwise, I'm
but your message is it has to be quick. The Names Council doesn't think it can be done. You think it would cause somewhat of a problem, and I have just volunteered to pass that message on to Dennis.
Right. I mean, we'll solve whatever problems have to be solved, but it would not be an easy matter at this point when travel arrangements have been made, et cetera, to try to extend the meeting sequence one more day. That's my only concern.
Andrew, I do have a question. Regarding the next ICANN meeting, that's Los Angeles. Probably we are still in time to rearrange the meetings for Los Angeles, right?
You bet. You can rearrange Los Angeles any which way you want.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that for us, Amadeo. Moving on. We've done the dispute resolution policy.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in danger of any other items here? Are we in danger of finishing early?
No, really. Do you want me to spend some jokes?
No, I'll be getting on the line and saving some money. shall we perhaps think about next meetings? Do we want another telecom before Santiago?
I think we resolved to deal with Ted Shapiro's issue online via email, so that's not a pressing item.
Mm-hmm. Faye, we are in time. Can you please explain to me what happened with working group and report? Because I was just trying to, to get through the mess that you organized myself with the telephone numbers, apparently.
Hang on while I go back through my notes. Victoria has published today.
Let's say Jonathan.
Sorry?
No, sorry. I mean, forget it.
Yeah. Victoria stroke Jonathan stroke a good partnership have put out a document. This has been, you should have the comment now. As you know, comment has to be back to ICANN by the 31st of July. Some more substantive comment than last time he reported. Basically, it's a request to accept the WIPO report for 1999, but to request that over the year 2000 that it brought...
I know the report, and I sent a part of that later, unfortunately, because I messed up with Jonathan / Victoria. The question is actions for the Names Council.
Yeah, the action for the Names Council, is to take that report very quickly, you've got it now, and discuss it with your constituency as much as you can in the very short time scale, and to give any comments on the report and consensus within your constituency to me by the 30th of July, but copy in the Names Council as a whole. If you don't copy in the Names Council, I will forward it to them for openness, and that I will take those items of report and consensus, put them together very quickly at the end of the day for the Names Council to look at, because this has to go back to ICANN by close of play on 31st of July.
So are we taking some kind of mail vote on that?
It's not a vote. You're reporting the consensus of your constituency.
No, as a Names Council. To make a recommendation, we need probably to have a vote.
Well, in that case, the time constraints that we've put together don't add up, because there isn't time for a vote unless we actually discuss it and we make a point of all discussing it at a particular time on that last day.
Well, if we have approval of the constituencies and the members of that constituency support it, all members of the constituency, that's basically a vote.
Well, quite.
Mm.
And if three constituencies approve it and three don't, you might be reporting to ICANN that there isn't consensus. Oh, the other caveat that you might have missed is that any report we send in goes with the recommendation that it hasn't had a lot of time because of the short deadline to be circulated widely, and that ICANN might wish to do that themselves when they post it for comment. Encourage them to look widely for comment.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear, Amadeo? I mean, is there anything else?
Okay.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Excuse me, Faye?
Yes?
This is Ted. I just wanted to get clear on, someone said we were voting online on my proposal. Is that what we had decided? There's an August 5th deadline for comments.
Yes.
A final report sent on August 6th
mm-hmm.
to the Names Council.
We're voting in Santiago. So whoever said voting online, that is, we actually agreed to vote in Santiago on that one.
Okay, that's what I was unclear on.
I think it was Bill. Bill, are you...
I misunderstood.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So, when are we next meeting?
Santiago,
okay.
August 26th is the Names Council meeting.
26?
In the afternoon of the 26th.
So, shouldn't we at least have a meeting on the 24th morning, before the constituency meeting starts? Or a lunch before the General Assembly starts? I mean, somehow we'll need to prepare a report to the General Assembly, things like that, right?
you're going to have a meeting. You're going to have lunch with 152 people. A names council lunch doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, I mean, not a lunch. I mean, I don't like working lunches. I just mean meeting. Perhaps 40 minutes or 30 minutes would be enough, but somehow, you know, to prepare the meetings and to prepare the General Assembly, things like that, yeah?
Maybe the evening before? Evening of 23rd?
Oh, I will be there. I don't know who else, but...
If the meeting is to prepare the report, and we just have that point in the agenda, I mean, I don't think we need
Anyway, you know, you being a born Chilean, I suggest that all names council members send to Javier their date of arrival.
This is Bill Simmons.
We can see where we can arrange something for an informal gathering for Monday night or Tuesday morning very early.
That sounds like a good idea, Mateo.
Can I just take Bill's comment?
Yeah, I just want to add that Faye and I and Nee will no longer be on the name.
I was just going to add that we probably won't be with you.
We will have elected members by then, and we'll transition over to them as soon as the election is completed.
Oh,
a farewell, I'm afraid.
I thank you all for bearing with us, and it was a good experience, and I'm glad I have time to do other things now.
You're not running for re-election, Bill?
No, we have not to run.
Oh.
That was part of the deal for having interim.
You have a high rotation rate then, yeah?
No, it was one of the deals for having non-elected people, that sometimes it's difficult to shift people who are already in the job, so we agreed not to stand in this election.
Okay.
So whatever, you get new faces. Can't tell you who they are, but you'll get new faces. So thank you all.
Thanks to you, Bill and Faye, then. Thanks for your sharing today.
Yeah, any other business?
Were you chairing or moderating the thing?
I was dictating.
I have one logistic question.
Yeah.
I would like to know who will send me a report file, the minutes from teleconference.
Caroline.
Okay.
Caroline, I'll send you an email with the few notes I wrote on the first two items that were before we'd even approved the agenda and found a scribe. Appreciate it, if that's okay. And unless there's any other business, I'll thank NSI for hosting this, and thank you all for participating.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 Thank you.